Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. In your Scofield Bible, page 1201, 1201. Romans 8, verses 1 through 4. We'll read these verses responsively. Verses 1 and 4 are the text verses for this morning's message. Let us stand, as we always do here at First Baptist, for the reading of God's Word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day. It's a pretty day outside. We thank you for that. And it's an occasion which marks a blessed time in the week for those of us who love thee and who love the church and who love the preaching. Sundays are always very, very special. We thank you for this, another Sunday at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. We pray that you'd unite our hearts together as one. Speak to us. And if we don't listen, it will be of no avail. Help us to listen. Help, we pray, our preacher as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
I study hard for my sermons, and I always hesitate to preach one that is not maybe a little bit heavier, or one on which I have not spent as much time. I've been consumed the last few days with a thought, not a profound thought, and yet a tremendously important thought. Yesterday, I think it was 21 people I counseled with in my office. Now, that means about every 15 minutes, I had to enter into somebody's life and help them make, in some cases, a half dozen decisions. And these decisions affect their lives. I would say that yesterday alone, I made decisions or I gave counsel for people to make decisions that would affect thousands of lives. In a year's time, I no doubt I will affect tens of thousands of lives and decisions I make. I want to talk this morning a very simple sermon, but a very needed sermon, entitled, Why Walk in the Spirit? Why walk in the Spirit? I'll ask you to listen carefully because you'll never hear a sermon that's more practical, more simple, but more needed. Our Heavenly Father, as I come again to speak, I want to help the people. That's my great desire in life. Help me to help them today. But I can't help them if they don't listen. So give them attentive hearts, minds, and ears, and give me attention to you. May I pay attention to your Spirit. May he direct me as I speak about him. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a summer day. I was between my high school graduation and my entrance into the Army, United States Paratroopers, in World War II. I needed a date the next Friday night. Saved my life. I wasn't going steadily with anybody, and I was sitting there at lunch at the Dallas Railway and Terminal Company where I was working, and I got to thinking, I've got to get me a date. Friday night's getting pretty close. And so I didn't know what to do. There's a telephone book there, and I decided to thumb through the book. And I just was, anybody making a difference, I just wanted to find somebody to have a, had to have a date. So I got the book, thumbed through it, and see if I could come to a familiar name. Of course, Dallas, pretty good-sized city. The phone book was that thick. I just thumbed through it, and I came to the name Slaughter. What a name for a wife, Slaughter. I came to the name Slaughter. And I said, I think I know her. Yeah, she's younger than I am. I guess maybe she's too young to be the date, but she sure is a pretty thing. And so I said, yeah, Beverly Slaughter. She's a gal who sings old solos and sings in a trio at church and lives down on Harlandale Street, just about 4 or 5 blocks from where I live. So I picked up the phone, the Dallas Railway and Terminal Company, and called the C.M. Slaughter residence. I asked for Beverly, and she was there. And I said, Beverly, I need a date. And I'd like to have a date with you Friday night. She said, well, I'm going steady with Charlie Dickerson. I said, that make a difference. I won't tell him. And I said, I need a date for Friday night. And she said, I'm sorry. I can't. I just can't. I'm going steady. And I think she was 5 or 6 years old at that time. And but she said, I can't do it. Well, I didn't think anything about it. Forgot it. I just said, if I turned me down, well, dumb bunnies they are, you know. And so I got another date for that Friday night. Several weeks passed, and we were at a First Baptist Church at Dallas at a special meeting for some kind. And so Joanne Freeman, one of my classmates, came to me and said, Jack, I know somebody wants to date you. And I said, who is it? She said, Beverly Slaughter. I said, oh, no, she's going steady with Charlie Dickerson. She said she broke up with him and she wants to date you. I said, is that right? Yeah, yeah. And I said, look, next time I see her, I'll ask her for a date. She said, you're going to see her right now. She's standing right over there. I looked over and saw the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And so that's where it all started. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. My decision to pick up a phone book. I mean, what if I hadn't picked up that phone book? Huh. Let me think about that a while. Listen to me, no talking. And you go ahead and laugh, but just shut up and talking. I'll do the talking. But now look, wait a minute. The magnitude of that decision. I tried to write a book. I'd never written a book before, and I wanted to write a book. Everybody that hadn't written a book wants to write a book, and everybody in this church has written 3 or 4. But I wanted to write a book. I was pastor of the Miller Road Baptist Church, Garland, Texas. And so I dictated the book called How to Boost Your Church Attendance. And it was not going to be in jeopardized Pilgrim's Progress at all. Called How to Boost Your Church Attendance. And I made a mistake. By the way, contacted Zondervan Publishers, and they said they'd publish it. But I made a mistake, and I read it. And I wasn't impressed at all. I took that book and wadded it up. Now get this. I wadded that book up like that, like you throw a piece of paper and threw it in the garbage can. That's it. Not going to write. It's not worth publishing. And then I got to thinking, if I never publish my first book, I can't publish my second one. That's an amazing thought. You might want to write that down. But I got thinking. So I said, I think I'll take it out of the garbage can and use it. No. The decision I'm about to make, whether to take that book out of the garbage can, those papers out of the garbage can or not. Monumental decision. Monumental. I took that book out of the garbage can. You won't believe this. I got me an ironing board and an iron. And I ironed that manuscript on the backside. I mean, probably 100 pages or so. I just ironed it. I'm good at that because I do all the ironing at our house. And other pressing business. But anyway, you didn't give much tithe this morning. You don't deserve much. But anyway, I ironed that book. And I sent it to Zondervan, and they published the book. Oh, wait a minute. That's the book that was advertised in the little catalog of Zondervan's books that George Husingay, a deacon of First Baptist Church in Hammond, read one day, tore out the little advertisement of that book and put it on the table of the deacon chairman in the deacon's meeting and said, this is the man you ought to call. Don't know who he is, but this is the fellow you ought to call. Wait a minute. I'm deciding whether or not to take some papers out of a garbage can. And for many of you, your salvation was at stake. Howells Anderson College was at stake. Hammond Baptist School's at stake. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every decision of your life is an important decision. There are no little decisions. Now, I could give you some big decisions I've made, but none more important than when I took that paper out of the garbage can. I was enrolling at East Texas Baptist College. I didn't have a job, didn't have any money, none. We'd spent only $40 we had, $37.50 for rent, $2.50 for groceries. That's all we had. Didn't have a dime. I had to have a job. I went up to the courthouse square and decided to kneel there and pray for several hours for God to give me a job. I didn't. There were several steps in the courthouse square, and I was trying to decide which step to kneel on and which side of the courthouse to kneel on. I knelt. I decided, here's the decision. Where will I kneel to pray? Well, what kind of a deal? No big deal. Oh, yes, it is a big deal, too. For I knelt to pray on a side that had a J.C. Penney store two blocks down the way. I prayed for several hours for God to give me a job, looked up and saw the J.C. Penney sign. If I'd been on the other side, I'd never seen the J.C. Penney sign. I decided God wanted me to work at J.C. Penney store, went down to the J.C. Penney store, told the manager God wanted me to work there. He hired me, but wait a minute. Over in the hosiery department was a little gal named Jean Lambert, 17 years of age. It was Jean Lambert who recommended me to the Grange Hall Baptist Church, that building's out on our campus right now. You see, decision to pick up the phone book and whom to call and turn to the Beverly Slaughter's phone number. A decision to pull some wadded up paper out of a garbage can. A decision as to where to kneel to pray. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, life-changing decisions are oftentimes not the major ones. Every decision you make, whether it's what church you go to, what school you go to, whom you date, what friends you have, what activity you go to. I mean, folks have told me, the house, I dated the wrong boy, married the wrong boy. Where'd you meet him? Met him at the mall. Well, then stay out of the mall unless you're going to go buy something. I said, stay out of the mall unless you're going to go buy something. Or I met him at a friend's house. You ought not to be with a boy at a friend's house. Anyway, all those decisions are so vital. You've heard this story, but it's an amazing story. I was driving to Love Field in Dallas, Texas. There are two ways to take. One is the street called Lover's Lane. I used to spend a lot of time on that one. But it's really called Lover's Lane, one of the main streets in North Dallas. I can take Lover's Lane to the airport, or I can take Northwest Highway to the airport. I rest a little while with which way to go, just guessing at it because I had to catch a plane to fly and preach in Austin, Texas. I decided to go Northwest Highway. I did not know that my life was at stake when I decided to go Northwest Highway. I chose Northwest Highway and got behind an accident, a wreck, and missed my plane. Wait a minute. That plane I missed crashed on the way to Austin, Texas, and everybody was killed. One little decision. There are no little decisions in life. I don't care what the decision is. It is a vitally important decision. My mom and dad had lost everything. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. My mom and dad had lost everything. Dad and mother owned a little store down in Italy, Texas, and the Depression came, and they lost it all. What will we do? They said. Well, maybe up in Dallas we can find, Dad said, we can find work. Wait a minute. They moved to Dallas. My mother was a Methodist. Staunch Methodist. Back when Methodists were fundamental, at least they believed the Bible was Word of God. And my mother's a Methodist. And they looked for a place to stay. Wait a minute. Looked for a place to stay. When I was 6 years old, they were looking for some place to rent. And I can still hear them. Can we afford this? How about this? And finally, they chose a house, two houses from the Fernwood Baptist Church. Now, we had no car. We couldn't drive a car to church. How would we get? So we couldn't go. If we had a Methodist church, we'd have gone to Methodist church. But it so happened they chose a house, two houses from the Fernwood Baptist Church. My mother went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So we went two houses to the Fernwood Baptist Church. And Mother became a Baptist. She found the Bible open one day and began to read it. And she became a Baptist. Mother was baptized. My mother was sprinkled as a youngster. She wasn't immersed. She's 40-some-odd years old. And so I joined the Baptist church. I wouldn't be a Baptist preacher if my mother and dad were deciding where they were going. Hey, can you imagine that? I wouldn't be pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'd be pastor of First Methodist Church on Holman Avenue down there. Now, I'm trying to tell you, these are the decisions you make. There are no little decisions you make. Everything that you decide. And by the way, we lived in 18 different houses. First 18 years of my life. Houses, nothing, shacks, apartments. We had to move. Rent came due. We had to move. You listen to me this morning, anybody home? So rent came due. We had to find a place. There was a place over in Trinity Heights section and a place in Lisbon. Lisbon was too far to us to walk to church. And Mother and Dad were deciding where to live. Will we live in Trinity Heights or Lisbon? Hey, there was an apartment for rent across the street from the Hillcrest Baptist Church. Oh, I didn't want to leave. I have to leave my church, leave my friends back at the Fernwood Baptist Church. And listen to me, no talking. And so they decided to rent the apartment across the street from the Hillcrest Baptist Church. About four or five blocks from that little apartment was 2830 Hardendale, where that pretty little girl you saw standing a while ago lives. My mother and daddy were choosing whom I would marry. Are you listening to me? They were choosing what church I'd go to because Beverly Slaughter went to the Hillcrest Baptist Church. I would never have known her if my mother and dad had made the decision. Now you listen to me. They're okay, but yet some of you, you'll decide what state you live in without ever walking with God or praying it through. I was preaching in Springfield, Missouri. You know this story. Years ago, Springfield, Missouri, I had 103 temperature. I vomited before the service. I picked up the phone, called the pastor, and said, "Pastor, I can't come tonight. I'm just too sick. I'm vomiting. I have 103 temperature." A little while later, I got thinking, I teach my people to be faithful regardless. I've got to go. And so I picked up the phone and decided to go preach with 103 temperature, having vomited most of the afternoon. I walked in to preach that night. There were some preacher boys that were members of the Christian denomination who had come over from Joplin, Missouri to hear me preach because they'd heard of me. They just sort of came, maybe as a joke, I don't know, but they'd heard of me. In that group was a little short fella who that night's heart was knitted to mine. His name was Rick Martin, who's changed the whole course of history in the Philippine Islands. That night, I decided, shall I go? Just like you decide to stay home when you have 99 temperature. I said, shall I go? 103 fever. I'm vomiting. Shall I go? I did not know that night. That decision, I was holding in my hand the future of the Philippine Islands and hundreds of thousands of people, whether they go to heaven or go to hell, that one night. And so, pick up the telephone booth. Pick up the telephone booth. I had to try to figure out which booth to pick up. Pick up the telephone book. Look at the telephone book. Or take a manuscript out of the garbage can. Or take what route shall I take to the airport? Or shall I go to church and preach with 103 temperature? We had a fellow in our church in Texas named George Logan. George was a great big guy. I don't mean big like Keith. I mean big like big. I mean, George was not as big as you are, but he was a giant of a fellow, strong as an ox. He was the number one tackle in the entire county of Dallas and was chosen by University of Texas as a full scholarship playing on their football team. George came by my office one day, and he said, "Preacher, guess what?" He said,
I've got a scholarship, University of Texas, to play on the football team. He went to University of Texas, was as a freshman, was number one tackle on the team. As he left my office that day, he said, "Preacher, isn't that great?" I said, "Great, nothing." He said, I'll be able to play at the University of Texas." I said, "Any idiot can do that."
That's all I said. George went down, made the first team, first game on the kickoff.
Kicked the ball off. As he ran down the field, all he could think of, any idiot can do this. Any idiot can do this. Any idiot can do this. And George Logan resigned the team after that game, came back, went to Christian College, and now for 40 years, 45 years, has been pastor of a Baptist church. Are you listening? One little statement. What shall I say? Any idiot can do that. Any idiot can do that. And yet, I wonder how many people George Logan has won to Christ. How many folks have they won to Christ? How many folks have they won to Christ? And the domino effect keeps on going. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, you don't understand. There are no unimportant decisions.
I read about a man went job hunting. Came back and told his wife, "I can't find work."
Went out again the next day and came back with the same report, "I can't find work." Went out again the next day and came back and said, "We've got to move." I understand down in another little country nearby, there's prosperity. They have jobs down there. And I'll say it again what I said before. Nobody ought to ever move because of a job. This man and his wife and their two sons moved down the road a few hundred miles to another place, another country where there's prosperity. They went down to stay a while just to get some money to go back home. But they didn't go back home. They stayed for 10 years. Now, during that 10 years, one of the boys got sick and died. And another boy got sick and died. And the husband got sick and died. And the 10 years later, the wife went back. And when she got back home, they couldn't even tell who she was. Everything was wrecked. Why? Because of one decision to go looking for work somewhere else.
I read about a man who decided to take a day off.
One day off. That's all. Decided not to go to work. Take a day off. Listen, more people get in trouble because of loafing than any other thing in the whole world. My mama used to teach me, "Son, don't hang around." That's why you ought not to hang around the mall or hang around anywhere. If you're going somewhere, go, take care of your business, and go back home.
And so I took a day off. Looked out his window and saw a beautiful girl taking a bath.
Decided he wanted her. He got her. Got her pregnant. She gave birth to his son. To cover up that it's his son, he brought her husband back from the army. And said to her husband, "Go be with your wife." Husband wouldn't go. A baby was born. The baby died. Why? One man decided not to go to work. One day, I read about a person, a man who needed advice. He sought advice from some older people. He sought advice from some younger people. Are you listening to me? He sought advice from younger people, sought advice from older people. And by older, I don't mean if you're 17, that's somebody 25 decides what you do. So he said, "Now, what advice should I take? The advice of the older people, or the older men, or the advice of younger men?" And then he said again, "Don't you discard these older people here at First Baptist Church of Hammond."
I was so glad that at the sweetheart banquet they honored some of our precious older ladies here at First Baptist Church. Ladies way up there, 70.
Whose advice shall I take? Whose advice? I don't want to lose. I'll take the advice of these younger men. Are you listening? Because he took the advice of those younger men, a civil war took place. The country was divided. The people of God went into sin. They spent 70 years in captivity because this man decided, "Whose advice shall I take?" Now you listen to me, young people. You take the advice of seasoned men of God who love you. You take the advice of people who walked down the trail you've walked and seen how things turn out. I'm saying, one little decision.
I read about a man who was choosing where to live, just like my mom and dad did.
He decided to go to another country to live because they were prosperous. There was a famine in the land where he was. Went down to that country. He absolutely went to pot. He saw a little girl down there. He got her pregnant. She gave birth to a son. That son is the father of the Arab race, and the division in the Middle East has been caused, listen to me now, by one man moving down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. Let me tell you something, young man. When you decide what you're going to do, you're deciding about moving. You're deciding by leaving a church, for example. You're deciding where your children are going to go to school. You're deciding whom your children are going to marry, and your grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I know a man in this church who left this church. 16 grandchildren, all of them, grew up, and not a one of them going to church right now. I know a man. It's a sad story. I'll never tell you who it is. I know a man who was in a fundamental church and decided to leave. I've understood this. You can go to a fundamental church or any church for 25, 30, 40 years and everything is fine. One little thing comes up, you caught yourself somewhere else. Well, I got news for you. They're not perfect there either. And if you're leaving some fundamental church to come here because of the same thing, we're not perfect here either. This man left the fundamental church. Listen to me. He left the fundamental church. He had a little daughter who grew up outside fundamentalism. His daughter grew up to be a teenager, never got saved. She had gotten saved here or there in the fundamental church. She never got saved, killed in a car wreck, and will spend eternity, no doubt, in the lake of fire and brimstone. Why? Because one little selfish dad got his dander up because there was something he didn't like and left the fundamental church. Stories could go on and on. Life-changing decisions. I know a man who was a saved man, full-time service for God. There's a man owed him some money who worked in a bar. He went, and this fellow used to drink. He went to the bar to get the money from this man that tried to collect it, this man that owed the money. All of a sudden, he had an urge to take one drink, went back into sin, became an alcoholic, and ended up at the Hammond Rescue Mission, Baptist Rescue Mission, years ago. Why? One little decision to go into a bar to get some money that a fellow owed him. What am I saying? I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, every decision you make is a life-changing one. What church shall I join? What school shall I attend? Whom shall I date? What friends shall I choose? Should I go on the activity or not? What job should I take? Where should I sit on the bus or on the plane? Where should I go out to eat? What route should I take? What college should I attend? What courses should I take? Now, the simple truth is, you can't pray about every decision you've got to make. No way you can. Sometimes on a Saturday, when our men meet, I'll make 200 life-changing decisions in one day. Bob, you're there. Brother Sisson, you're there. You know what I'm talking about. I may make 200. Brother Ray Young sometimes will ask me 75 questions. I have to make those decisions about the college. Sometimes 200 decisions. Every decision affects lives, hundreds of lives now, and the next generation, maybe thousands of lives, and the domino effect, the next. I say to myself, I can't afford it, but I haven't got time to bow and pray about every decision I make. So what's the secret? Walk in the Spirit. That's my text. Walk in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time the people of God lived in the Spirit all the time. You don't know which one those are. That little piece of paper in a garbage can. That telephone book to slaughter. You don't know. You don't know. And that means you ought to live and walk in the Spirit all the time.
How do you do it? It's old hat. 6 o'clock in the morning, I yield myself. I say, I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to you. And I pray you help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes today.
9 o'clock in the morning, as near as I can denying, I have said, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I pray you help me to cross the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. At noon, as near as I can to noon, I pray the same prayer. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I pray the same prayer. 6 o'clock at night, as near as I can, I pray the same prayer. 9 o'clock at night, or as soon as I can, I pray the same prayer. Before I go to bed tonight, every night I go to bed, I say, Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I pray you help me to walk across the path of those whom Jesus would help if he walked in my shoes. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, every decision I make, where to eat, where to sit, where I eat, can affect the lives of thousands of people. And by the way, so can your decisions.
Anybody that knows me knows. Here's the prayer that I pray the most, more than any other prayer. Dear Lord, control my thinking. Control my thinking.
Dear Lord, I say this every time I counsel. I say it every morning before I meet with my staff. Dear Lord, I've got a decision to make. I cannot stop and pray 5 minutes for everyone. Did not that many hours today. But I'm going to make decisions that affect somebody's life today, and many of them. You, please, I beg you, control my thinking. I pray you control my mind. Let your mind be in mine. And that's what Paul said in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've got some good news for you. You can use Jesus' mind to make your decisions.
Yes, we are. She don't like this, but wait a minute. 70 years ago, my mom and dad had no idea that if they'd chosen a different place to live, I wouldn't be standing beside this beautiful girl right now. They had no idea. I learned that Jesus' mind was mine when I was a teenage lad.
The morning that I picked up that telephone book, I picked up that telephone company that morning.
The morning that I picked up that telephone book, late morning about lunchtime, I prayed that morning for the Holy Spirit to lead me that day. I didn't say, lead me to a right girl. I wasn't that spiritual. But I was spiritual enough where my pastor taught me every morning to pray for the Holy Spirit to lead me.
Now, I didn't say lead me as I choose a date. I did not know I was going to choose a date or try to get a date.
But I did walk in the Spirit that day. And if I hadn't picked up that telephone book that morning, we wouldn't be standing here like this today. And you wouldn't have had this lovely lady as your pastor's wife for almost 40 years. Kids, are you listening to me? Huh? The other day, a little girl came to me and she said, Brother Howes, I'm not going to do what my sister did. Brother Howes, I've made some mistakes, but I've decided not to do what my sister did. My sister's getting a young lady. She's getting a second divorce from her second marriage. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I don't care who you are, if you're 6 or 16 or 60 or 106. You ought to ask God every day of your life to control your thinking. And you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit because, bless God, His mind, the mind of Jesus,
the mind that walked the shores of Galilee, the mind that decided He must needs go through Samaria. There's a woman there at the well He had to talk to. The mind of Him who's the most yielded person who ever lived, the perfect, sinless Son of God. That mind is yours, available for you. You don't have to make your own decisions. He'll make them for you.
Thank you. All right, I'm through. What decision are you facing? I'll say it again. Where am I going to preach? I'm a Howells Anderson graduate. That's, you're going to pay attention to that one. But wait a minute. How about the garbage in the garbage can? How about whether I should take it out or not? How can I make the right decisions? I must walk in the Spirit. How can I walk in the Spirit? Several times a day, yield yourself to Him. And then plead with Him to let you borrow the mind of Christ. For the very mind of Jesus Christ Himself is available to you. Would you bow your heads, please?